Thank you, Kebron. Beautifully done. Genesis chapter 26 tonight. Go ahead with me in your Bibles, please. I'm going to look at a passage here that you'll be reading here shortly in our teen devotionals and give you a few thoughts as you head into this portion of Genesis. Genesis chapter 26, I hope that you are and have been following along with the teen devotionals. I'm just curious, does anybody know who the teenager of the day was today? Anybody know? Yes. Yeah, Josiah was the teenager of the day today. And hopefully you took some time to pray for him. Josiah, where are you at, buddy?
I'm right here.
Josiah, missed you. Don't know how I did. Josiah, you appreciate people praying for you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you hear your name and see your name in print, you'll want folks to pray for you as well. I hope that you've been taking advantage of the podcast. I only have a few lines to give some thoughts on the devotional sheets, but the podcast is an expansion of that, and I hope that you'll avail yourself to that from time to time. I find people don't always know how to access it, and so somebody just last week, I guess, asked my wife, you know, what is this thing? Where is it at? And so we were able to help somebody with that, but this is specifically for you. I hope that you will use it, and it goes right along, of course, with the passage, the devotional thought, just kind of an expanded explanation of it. We're going to go ahead and look at our text here, Genesis 26. I want us to see here, we're going to jump around a little bit, but notice the first six verses of chapter 26. Maybe you don't have a Bible tonight for whatever reason. If you forgot your Bible, just lift your hand. We'll get you a copy of God's Word so that you can put your eyes on that. Let's see, we do have one across the room here at least. And this is want to get everybody a copy here so you can see it. And very good. So for most of you, you have a copy in your locker, and so most of you, it's just a walk down the hallway. And I know that every single one of you are capable of taking that walk. It'll show some interest in studying the Word of God. So. Genesis chapter 26, let's go ahead and notice verse 1. What does the Bible say? And there was a famine in the land. That's important. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Right? So this is Isaac hearing from the Lord. And he goes on, the Lord goes on, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. This was the promise that was given to Abraham. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And so he continues on that theme, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Verse 6, notice this, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now go ahead and look with me at verse 12. Jump a few verses down. Interesting story here. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Okay, so Isaac is working the land here, and the Lord is working a miracle out of the ground. It's very plenteous, and the Bible uses the term here, his return was a hundredfold. I say that's pretty good. Verse 13, and the man waxed great, that's Isaac, and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines, the Bible says, envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, pitched in a tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And notice what the Bible says. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. What happened next? Verse 20, and the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. Okay, so what happened next? Verse 21, and well, they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of that Sidna, verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I'd like to preach a message tonight with this title, Digging Wells and Grace Giving. Digging Wells and Grace Giving. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you again, as we have so humbly done so already, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, I ask that, Father, that you would bring clarity to this passage and we would have full understanding of what, Lord, you are trying to convey to us. Lord, you've given us your word so that you can reveal yourself to us. And tonight, we pray that that process would happen in this very room. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit would have free reign in every heart. I pray that there would not be one who would bar their heart from you. Or, Lord, keep something back. Lord, challenge us with the things that we'll look at this evening. And we ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. There's a Greek mythology story that has to do with a man named, a fictitious person named Narcissus. Now, Narcissus was a very interesting individual in that he was caught up in his own beauty. All right? As the fable or the story goes, is that he, being nice-looking, as a child, grew into be a man, and someone told his mother and said, listen, your son will do great things as long as he does not see himself for what he is. Well, one day, Narcissus went by a stream of flowing water. He looked in the water and saw his reflection. And as the story goes, he never went anywhere else. He died glaring at his own beauty, ignoring everyone and everything else. Now, we hear that word thrown around a lot today. Narcissist, you narcissist, you know, narcissism. Our society is captivated with it, not realizing that the attitude and the focus of a lot of Americans today is very much on themselves. When we use that term or you hear that term, what does that have to do with it? It has to do with someone who's self-absorbed, right? Someone who's egocentric, someone who overestimates their own importance and abilities. This person maybe has a sense of entitlement and a disregard for other people. And of course, narcissism is nothing new. And the Bible speaks about someone who is self-centered in a number of passages. But consider the words here of Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 when he says, look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. And then we're going to talk about that tonight as we look here as an illustration of Isaac's early life. Notice, if you will, if you're taking notes this morning or this evening as we look at three things. Notice number one, Isaac was able to see beyond himself. He was able to see beyond himself. And what's taking place here? Notice the Bible gives us a little bit of backstory here. There's a famine that comes up in the land. And when Abraham died, Isaac already had a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, you remember the situation that Abraham had with Lot, where they had to be separated because of all of Abraham's things. And Abraham lived a very full life. The Lord continued to provide for him. And then when Abraham dies, Isaac becomes the sole heir of everything that he has. So then Isaac obtains all of this, and then the Lord begins to add even to that as God blesses Isaac. Remember, the land returned, as the Bible said, a hundredfold. He grew in servants. He grew in a flock. He grew and he grew and he grew. Isaac has a lot of things. He's been blessed of God greatly. And sometimes when someone is very much blessed of God or has been given a large inheritance, it is very hard for them to see beyond their own needs. But that's not the heart of Isaac in this passage. Although he has more than probably you and I will ever have in life, he very much has a heart for other people that can be seen in a very profound way in this passage. He was able, though, to see beyond himself. Verse 18, look at it with me. Ultimately here, Isaac begins to dig again the wells of water. You know what? He saw a need in that area for restoring these wells that his father had taken the time to carve out. Now, what had happened since then? Abraham had died. The Philippines that occupied this area in Gerar had actually, in disdain for Isaac's family, filled in all of these wells. Abraham dies. They're like, okay, fine. You know what? Now we're going to try to erase his footprint on this area. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to fill in all of these wells. And we're going to take away the ability to have water in these areas. And they go and they do that. And so Isaac doesn't go and pick a fight with the Philistines, although maybe there would have been room for that or justification thereby. No, not at all. In fact, the Bible says that he saw it as an opportunity to be a blessing. And we'll see that here in just a second. But what is Isaac doing? He sees a need that is beyond himself. And he ultimately is going to end up being a blessing to others. I wonder if we are so keen as to see the needs outside of ourselves. I wonder how often we step out of our realm, our world, and we consider the needs of the people who are in our lives. I mean, when is the last time you had stopped and considered some of the stress points of your parents? I wonder if you sit here tonight, would you be able to articulate the top three things that maybe your father is faced with every day that might be a struggle point? I wonder if we sat here tonight and just did a poll, could you articulate the things that your mom may be struggling with right now? The needs that maybe are in her life and yet we just kind of go on with the things that we're absorbed with the here and now. This is a busy time in your life. I remember thinking as a teenager, wow, can my life get any busier? And the answer is, yes, it can. And you'll find is the more you add responsibility to it, it does. But you're at a busy time in your life. And you're learning to do many different things. And if we're not careful, we can become so caught up in our own responsibilities that we miss the needs of the people around us. You're saying, Brother Scott, does that mean that I should not work as hard on my schoolwork? I'll sign up. Brother Scott, are you telling me that I don't need to do my chores around the house anymore and I just go about helping people? Yeah. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that there's always time to be a grace giver. And that's what Isaac is finding time to do. He's finding time to be a blessing to other people. And in doing so, he has to stop and think about the needs of other people. Your mom and dad have needs in their life. Do you know what they are? Do you know how you can pray for them? You know, sometimes the needs are very apparent. Maybe it's a health issue that your mom, your dad faces. And that's an issue that we ought to pray about and take to the Lord. But sometimes the issues are not as seen. You know, sometimes your father faces pressures at work that he doesn't even talk about when he comes home. Sometimes there are things in your parents' life that you don't even know about, but I just wonder, have we considered those? Have we considered being a grace giver to the people that are closest to us? You know, sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes we cause problems for the people who love us the most. Sometimes we're not as gracious, or we're more gracious to people who are outside of our homes than we are the people who occupy our homes. Well, I think that's a mistake. And again, understand this tonight. We're talking about next level Christianity here. Listen, if you can't obey your parents and what they're telling you to do, that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about being a grace giver to them, okay? And well, you know what? I don't agree with it, but I'm just going to obey, okay? And that's going to be my grace giving today, okay? I'm not talking about that. We're talking about another level, okay? If you can't respect your parents, okay, then that's a sin issue that has to be dealt with. If you can't obey your parents, that's a sin issue that has to be dealt with. But there's another level in which you say, hey, I'm going to obey, I'm going to respect, I'm going to do what's right. But then at the same time, I'm going to realize that, hey, I can see some needs in my parents' life and I can be a blessing to them. Now, I've spent a lot of time talking about parents, but there are other people in our lives as well. We can go out from there. Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's some friends that you know. But the question is, we are very aware of our own needs. How aware are we of the needs of others? Are we like narcissists? Stare in the mirror and all we can think about is our problems and our needs? Or we pick our head up. We say, hey, wait a second. There's some people around me who have needs. Isaac, great example of a grace giver. Great example. And the first reason is because he was able to see beyond himself. What are some reasons that sometimes we have a hard time showing grace to others? And when I use that word grace, it's used throughout the Word of God, and it always refers to someone who's receiving something that is undeserving of it. Many times we talk about the grace of God, okay? That grace that the Lord extends to us is not because we've worked for it or we deserve it. Okay, you may say, well, Brother Scott, you don't know how much I give to the Lord. I mean, I have earned that grace. No, you are misunderstanding the idea of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You cannot work for it. There's nothing we can do except be a beneficiary of it. And we all certainly are tonight as far as the grace we receive of the Lord. So when we talk about being a grace giver, digging wells and grace giving, we're talking about something that you do for someone else, not because they've earned it in some way, but just because it's the right thing to do. And we see sometimes we don't show grace to others because we maybe are just focused on ourselves. We're maybe focused on just one person. Boy, sometimes we go overboard for our best friend, don't we? Sometimes we just, hey, every week, Brother Scott, if you know how I grace give, let me tell you, you know what? Shaniqua gets a gift from me every week. Okay? Every week. I make sure she's my best friend and she gets a gift every week. Okay? Well, that's great. You know what? Shaniqua's living the life. Okay? But there are more people in life than just Shaniqua. I don't know any Shaniquas, but her name's getting used a lot tonight. But hey, Sometimes our grace giving is limited to just one person that we feel most comfortable with or that we like. Well, there's nothing wrong with, you know, giving to somebody on a regular basis because you're thankful for them. But sometimes we need to step away from our comfort zone and say, hey, wait a second, there are other people that need me to be a blessing. Maybe the Lord wants to use me in that capacity. What are some other reasons why we don't do a good job of grace giving? Well, because we're too focused on maybe just one person. Maybe because we've already decided they don't deserve it. Well, you ever been there before? You ever been there? Hey, look, I'm going to be nice to everyone, but that guy, he doesn't deserve it. There is nothing he can do. Nothing. Doesn't deserve it. But sometimes we're like that. You know what that's called? The old man. That's the old man thinking that way. Hey, I'm glad Christ didn't do that with us. Well, I'm glad he wasn't selective in how he gave his grace and salvation and said, hey, I'm going to reach down and save these five people. Everybody else, tough love. You know, I'm glad he didn't do that. No, that's the whole idea, right, of grace giving. It's giving it to people who are not deserving of it. Is that the kind of life that we live? Or do we size people up and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to hold the door for that person, and hey, you know, I've got some extra candy. I'm going to give to this person, but whoa. Is that how we, you know what? That's human nature, but doesn't mean it's right. Okay, grace giving. Sometimes because we've already decided who deserves it and who doesn't. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31 talks about the principle of being proactive in our giving. But Isaac was able to see here beyond himself. And because you and I will never be a grace giver if we don't get past this step one, can you tonight be able to say that you are in a place where, yes, Brother Scott, I think about others often. I think about the needs that are represented in that person who's sitting two people from me. They've got a tough situation. Boy, I grieve over that. I pray for them. And you know what? I look for opportunities to be a blessing. Can you say that tonight? Notice the second thing, and we see it here in verse 21. It's so compelling. What's Isaac doing here? He sees a need. There's these wells. They've been carried over in a mean spirit by the Philistines. The Philistines are going about trying to remove the footprint of God's people here. And he just starts digging wells. Notice what happens next, though, in verse 21. Notice what it says. In verse 20, it says, "And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen," right? Okay, so Philistines now, they're getting a little upset, okay? Isaac's back in the area. They're starting to dig these wells out again. They say, this water is ours. And so he digs the well, and they claim it for themselves. And then verse 21, Isaac could have stopped there and said, "You know what? I tried. Okay, I was going to be a blessing to everyone in this community. I was going to dig a well that we all could use and benefit from. And you came over and you now want to fight because you think it's yours and you want to go all through that." He could have thrown his hands up and said, "I'm done. I'm moving on. We're taking our caravan elsewhere." But what does he do? Verse 20. Verse 21. The Bible says this, "And they digged another well." Now, what's Isaac doing here? Notice number one, he was able to see beyond himself. Number two, he was willing to add to his work. I want you to think about just for a second. This is so far removed from where we live. Okay, how many of you this past week went and digged a well? Just what I thought. Okay, how many of you have ever dug a well? Okay, all right. Maybe one person who's not sure if they did or maybe did. They're doing this. Okay, this type of well is not something that we know much about because it's not part of our culture. But it was a huge part of theirs. And they were heavily dependent upon these wells. Let me give you a few things about these wells. All right, the process of digging included the hot climate. Okay, now I grew up in Florida. I know what it's like to work in hot weather. Okay, in fact, we're getting this cool weather right now. Florida knows nothing of it. Okay, and I enjoy it. I really do enjoy it. The diversity is nice. But I got to tell you, we hit about mid-December, and I need to thaw out. Okay, it's just, I need to thaw out, and we go to Florida for a few days. And Brother Scott thaws out, he can come back and get through the rest of winter, okay? But listen, I'm used to doing work in heat, but the place that they were living was a different kind of heat. Man, this was an intense heat, and let me tell you, they weren't able to just walk inside and feel the cool AC. That wasn't happening. Okay, sometimes you go to a theme park and you see these kids walking around with these fans and the squirt bottles, and they're like, you know, sometimes two in both hands, "Mom, Dad, I need a refill. Let's go." You know, like, they didn't have that going on. All right, what's happening here? Isaac is taking upon himself a lot of work, hard work, in the hot climate. What else? So there's the climate to deal with. The wells themselves had to be located, right? I mean, these had been covered up. So it says, at least in my reading, it would take up to 6 months to complete a well. Okay, now they didn't have the high-powered equipment that we have now. And it's amazing when you consider all that was built around Bible days, you know, without having the crane, you know. They didn't have that. Okay, that was men doing that, you know, carrying these massive things around and beasts and animals. They had all kinds of stuff in the system. It's really amazing, but in this situation, you're talking about not only a hot climate, but you're talking about a process that was grueling and long. 6 months. Here's Isaac. He says, "You know, I'm going to be a blessing to this community." Starts working on this well. 6 months later, it's done. Herdsmen of Gerar come up and say, what you doing here?" I say, "Well, have some." They say, "That's not your well." I said, "What?" I said, "That's our well." we're taking this well. So you can like, woo, woo, woo. Okay. Isaac says, Now what would Brother Scott have said? Look out. 6 months, hard labor. That's my well. We're going to have words right here and now, right? Isaac didn't do that. What did he do? He went build another one. So, all right, take the well. Go build another one. 6 months. Are you kidding me? So he starts in again. 6 months, right? This was hard work. It was dug by hand. It was through rock, limestone, all kinds of things. My point is that sometimes we don't work half as hard as we should at grace giving. Boy, we don't. Say, Brother Scott, if you knew my personality, you just know I'm a closed person. Scott, I have a really hard time talking to people. It scares me. You know? Scott, when the Lord created me, didn't create me to be a grace giver. Okay, don't go there. Look, all right, everybody is meant to be a grace giver. Okay, but sometimes we don't work at it. And it is something that we have to work at. You say, Brother Scott, it's not real cool to be a grace giver as a teenager. I mean, I don't see other people doing this. Okay? It's a part of our Christian community, though. Part of what God wants us to do. And how hard are we working at it? I mean, have you sat and thought about it? Let me give you some ways that you can be a grace giver. Okay? What are some ways that we can do that? What are some ways, some modern ways that we can dig wells, so to speak? Let me give you some things here. Number one, a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. Well, that could be a grace-giving way to be a blessing to someone. A word of encouragement. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." The idea there is to give intentional flavor to your words. That was really neat. I don't want to embarrass anybody here tonight, but I got home late after the game last night, and I'm sitting on my couch and just reflecting on the day, and my phone buzzes, and a teenager sent me a really nice message. It's a really great message. Just reading down through it, I could tell there was some thought put into it, and boy, what an encouraging word. Man, I'll tell you, made my night. It was special. How many of you have received a message like that before? You know, just somebody, a message of encouragement from somebody, and boy, it just kind of made your night. Hey, listen, that's what a word of encouragement can do. You know what you're doing there for somebody else? You're digging a well for them. You're saying, hey, listen, I'm going to put some work in and here. Listen, everybody can have a little bit. Everybody can have a drink. How hard do we work at it? A kind word of encouragement, a kind act. You say, how? Well, maybe you hold the door for someone. You let somebody else go first. You sit by someone you wouldn't normally. You give a little attention maybe to a younger teenager. You carry something for somebody else. Ladies, you know, you see each other in the morning. Ladies, you like to hug. Okay, us guys, we don't do that. Okay, it's just not what we do. Okay, but if you're a lady, maybe you just like to, you know, give a hug of encouragement to somebody else. Maybe there's a quiz that's upcoming. You're ready for it, but you know somebody else is not. And so you want to take a little bit of time to help them get ready. Hey, these are just some simple ways that you can take to be a blessing to someone else, to dig a well for someone else's benefit. A word of encouragement, a kind act. Notice number three, and then we're done tonight. Look at verse 22. Such a neat story here. You say, what happened after he dug the first well? They were contentious. They wanted it for their own. He moved on. He dug another one. So what happened after he did that? Look at verse 22. And he removed from thence. Okay, they just now confiscated the second well, and he digged another well. He digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name Rehoboth, and he said, "For now, the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." I want you to see number three. He considered what had been done for him. You know, this was an area of land that ultimately the king of the Philistines had allowed him to come into. Now, it was given to him by the Lord, although there were Philistines living there at the time. So he comes in and he doesn't do a hostile takeover. He graciously acknowledges their part and where they were staying. And he just goes about trying to be a blessing, uncovering some of these wells. And he does it not once, not twice, but he does it three times. And he does it as many as he needs to be done for these people. You know, they reached a point where they stopped fighting because they realized that, hey, wait a second, this guy's actually trying to help us out. This guy's actually trying to be a blessing to all of us here. And he got to that third well, and they said, you know what? Okay. You can have that well. We've got these wells. I think we're going to be just fine. What does Isaac say? He says, you know what? Praise be to God because the Lord has given all of us a place that we could dwell. You know, he recognizes that the people to which land he was inhabiting at the time were gracious enough to allow him to live there peacefully. Although they did cause some problems for him. I wonder tonight if we understand and have considered what has been done for us. Abimelech had allowed him to stay. And God had been so gracious to him. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what's the principle here? The principle is this, is that God gives his grace to us. He gives his grace to you, Jan, Caroline, Alex, James, Zach, Marissa, Ethan. He gives his grace to us. And then we have the opportunity in gratitude and thankfulness and acknowledgement of what he's done for us to be grace givers to others. Remember, our lives are not a reservoir, not to collect, but we're a channel of God's blessing. Boy, beautiful picture here. You know what Isaac's doing? He's digging wells. He's being a grace giver. And I ask you tonight, how well do you do at grace giving? How well do you do at picking your head up from your own life and looking to the things of others? See, it's not just a good thing to do. It's the thing the Lord wants us to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Just a moment, we're going to have a time here at the altar where we'll give an opportunity to spend some time with God. But I wonder if there'd be anyone here tonight, maybe a group, would be honest enough to say, tonight, Brother Scott, the Lord convicted my heart, and I perhaps have been looking too hard at my own needs. And I have not considered enough the needs of those around me. Well, that's a hard thing to say, but I wonder, who'd just be honest here tonight, just by the uplifted hand, and say, Brother Scott, that's me. That's me. As I look around the room, a lot of hands in the air. And it could be, you can put those down, it could be that the Lord wants you to identify this very moment somebody that needs to be the object of the next well that you dig. Maybe it's a parent in your home. Maybe you're sitting here, you say, Brother Scott, I know you're talking about second level Christianity, but I've got problems on the first level. I'm not even obeying my parents. I'm not even being respectful to the authority that's in my life. I'm not honoring them. And I know it. Listen, understand this. You'll never be a good grace giver to those closest to you if you cannot first learn to obey and honor them? We're going to pray, and I'm going to open the altar, and I hope that tonight we will think intentionally about how we can be a grace giver in the coming days. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the example of Isaac. Lord, he was young, and yet he had so much, but Lord, he, even in the face of people who were cruel to him, he wanted to be a blessing. Lord, help us to have that type of attitude, not sizing up other people in a way that says, well, they don't deserve, but in a way that says, grace giving is about undeserved activity. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. May we be obedient to you. Have your will and way in the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, the altar's open, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't wait. Just get up where you're at. Come to the altar. Talk to the Lord about whatever that is that he wants you to do. We'll take the time this evening. There's no rush. We've got time. Allow the Holy Spirit to perfect that work in your heart. Don't stop short of what God is trying to do or speak to you about. Don't say no to him. Say yes. That's the best answer you can ever give the Lord is, yes, Lord. Grace giving starts with the people closest to you. Boy, let me tell you, once a youth group gets a hold of this concept, it becomes an oasis from the world. May God give us a youth group that has a spirit of grace giving about it. Say no to self-absorption. Say yes to others. Lord, I pray that you'd make us mindful of these things, not soon forget them. In your name we pray. Amen.